is Edwin K. Morris, and you are about to embark on the next Pioneer Knowledge Services Because You Need to Know, a digital resource for you to listen to folks share their experience and knowledge around the field of knowledge management and nonprofit work. Company or organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email bynTK@pioneer-ks.org.
Hallo, schönen guten Abend. Ich freue mich sehr, heute hier zu sein. Vielen Dank, Edwin, für die Einladung. Jetzt wollen wir auch auf Englisch starten, glaube ich, damit jeder verstehen kann, was ich hier zu sagen habe. Hello everyone. Thank you to have me here, Edwin. Thank you a lot for the invitation to be part of this podcast. I will share with you a little bit, starting with my name. By definition, as we all know, abbreviation of knowledge management is KM. So I am KM by definition. Unconscious related to KM since my birthday.
Wait a minute. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I was like, where are you going with this? Well done.
The last 7 years, I have lived in the Basque Country. The Basque Country based, so is North Spain. So we have also Basque Country in France side, but we are living in the north side of Spain. Most interesting things near me, I would share also, it's my intercultural and also interdisciplinary professional way. I explain myself. In everyday life, I speak constantly 4 or 5 languages, so a native way. And my kids also follow this pattern. So additionally, they speak Basque language that I didn't learn yet. Someone at this moment might try to classify me into a specific culture based on my accent. So, which is not an easy task. I have traveled extensively and lived and worked in various countries. Yeah, this experience has led me to develop multiple language accents. The thing I have learned, it's the importance of perseverance. Perseverance for me is not just about achieving external success. A lot about the personal growth. And also resilience, what we develop along the way, lifelong way. It's a mindset that empowers not to us to overcome obstacles and also challenge us, pursue our passions with a determination. I absolutely love working in the field of technology, innovation, and knowledge management. I'm not expert in IT, but working in KM area, it provide me or give me the possibility to work very close with the people from the different other sectors. Working very close with the IT professionals, I can say I innovate every day. So I'm here in this podcast. As I mentioned before, I'm fluently and speaking all the day in different languages, but English is not on this list. It's the first time that I'm speaking or taking part on the podcast in English.
Yes.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Applause. My most fantastic job work experience was at the local accelerating program where I was working as a startup coach. And the topic was I was coaching the selected entrepreneurs or future entrepreneurs. I was coaching entrepreneurship competencies. It means I was using the autobiographical approach to analyze all the competencies, experiences, strengths of these persons, and then providing them with the skills that needed to be to succeed in the journey to succeed with your project. It was very satisfying. Not all of these participants are already successful entrepreneurs. Startups owners. Some of them also decided during this coaching, during this journey, personal journey, not to continue because they saw the gaps that they couldn't fill to be entrepreneur. So,
Christina, could you define for me what knowledge management is?
The definition about knowledge management.
What you think it is, yes.
It's about awareness. Awareness, what knowledge consists in. And when we are speaking about management, they can include also change management, project management, a lot of disciplines. They are not this definition. It's very wide. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very wide definition. And
Are you saying KM is everything?
KM is everything. Because knowledge, do you know, if you are speaking about knowledge, people get lost. You can't sell knowledge, but you are selling, even we are knowledge workers. It's a really interesting time.
In the world, as you see it, when we talked about this, and that's where I'm coming from. So your background as a teacher, and it sounds like you're really a lifelong learner, right? Do you have that? Do you consider yourself a lifelong learner? Are you a student of the world?
My mother considered me.
Ah?
she said to me, so go make your homework. when I have an appointment or meeting, so you have to do your homework. She don't really understand what is KM, what I am doing.
Yeah.
So actually. For she, it's all about teaching, yeah.
So is the teacher, did your first impression of a teacher, was it your mom? Who was your first mentor as you were thinking, I like this teaching thing. I like that whole thing. Do you have an early imprint?
My mother is pharmaceutical, so my father is a doctor. But about teaching, I think it was later. It was later when I was maybe 16 years old.
Was it school related or work related?
Yeah, it was school related.
Okay.
I was visiting very, very interesting form of the school. It was a non-state school in Belarus. They don't exist now. And it was all about very humanistic subjects. We learned a lot of about worldwide literatures, history, ethics, religion, possible subject that we didn't had possibility to learn maybe in the normal school.
You had a lot to pick from. It sounds like there was just a wide range of topics and content.
I got the possibility to learn 5 languages and also to participate on different research conferences, programs. And not only in the country, but also in the foreign countries.
Well, what is the interest? What is your personal and professional interest in building better people? I'm using that word as better, as more competent. Not better, but just more competent. How can you build that competence in people? Mm. You come from an HR background, so how do you build a better workforce? They're empowered, self-confident, and want to inquire and learn.
First of all, it should be where we have to be on the same wave. I couldn't build or develop every person. I'm not able to work with everyone because it's important to get deep with a person, to get know each other, to understand their interests. Mm-hmm. And background, when we are speaking about development of competencies or doing coaching. The same is on when we are speaking about working with organizations. No? If we are speaking about definition of competence, it's a bundle of skills, mm-hmm. knowledge, experience, motivations. The same definition we could use for organization. Mm. The human being is a system. Also, the organization is a system. When we start to work with a company, the first thing what we have to do is to understand the essence, the geist of the organization, what the essence of the organization is, what is a strategic
essence of the organization is supposed to be about. Is that what you're getting to? You said geist, so I'm looking up.
Yeah.
Geist is the whole.
There are a lot of definitions for geist.
Okay, here's one. The spirit. It is the spirit.
Yeah, the spirit.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so that it's the intangible, it's the essence, the soul of the organization.
No, because organization don't have a brain.
Oh, that made me laugh. Yes.
Oh, is she?
The idea of the organization.
Yeah.
Let's get back. It's a construct that we put people in and expect almost a systematic output, like they're just parts to the machine. But as you and I know, and most people know, that's a broken logic because people are dynamic and unpredictable. And you don't know what's going to motivate anybody on any given day to do anything. And it's not just money, and it's not just prestige or recognition.
No.
It can be a lot of things that that person may not even be aware of.
It's a really good point, Edwin. Do you know that this year, it's a, so 2023, it's a European Year of the Skills?
Tell me.
Okay. I followed the conference, Congress in Budapest. It was held the last month. The experts identified the conclusions of all this discussion. The last year about future skills, about future skills, that it's not about identifying or mapping organizational competences or future skills, they should be. It's more about building the culture, that the business manager should build the culture that motivate employees to take the part on this transformative journey to upskilling, reskilling. Mm-hmm. Only in this case, this transformation will take the natural way.
Okay, so while you were speaking, I went to this website, Year of Skills, europa.eu/INDA.
Yeah.
They've got a map here that says, find skills-related activities near you. Tell me what the heck that's all about. That's a cool concept.
It's about connect enterprises to the concrete skills, competences, to build community, to build corporations based on skills.
It sounds very cool. It's an interesting concept. So you're connecting, or Europe is,
Europe is good. Yeah.
European Union is sponsoring this, I presume.
Yeah.
They're building a web of connection for a purpose and to connect people with similar skill sets versus social media, which is just connecting people because they look cute or they're smart or whatever. This is for a purpose. They built this to build an impromptu opportunity for people to connect or businesses to connect.
To connect people.
Or both.
I think that's about the both, the people and the both. Companies, enterprises. And also you can see there on this map that they also sharing best practices about reskilling and
this
so on.
This is very cool.
Piece of knowledge management, no? Based on skills.
Okay, let's go back to your HR background. So who evaluates your skills? In an organization, you can say, yeah, I'm a SharePoint guy. I can do everything in SharePoint, yep. Well, how do I know you can? So is there an evaluation or is there some kind of checklist to say, oh yeah, I have the certification, I have 2-year degree, I have 10 years experience, or is it just up to the individual to report that they're skilled?
First of all, back to the competences, okay? Because skills are just a part of competences. And if we are speaking about competences, there are four different fields of competences: methodical, technical, personal, and social competences. They're interconnected, but they are all different fields. As you can understand, technical or methodical competencies are easier to prove. If we are speaking about personal competencies, self-awareness, self-discipline, or social skills, communication skills, no? It's not really easy to evaluate. So, first two fields, technical, methodical, we can evaluate based on 380 grad analysis.
Okay.
It means the person self analyze on the scale from 1 on the range of from 1 to 6 or from 1 to 8, independent on the matrix what they use. How good they are in one field, in one activity.
Merriam-Webster defines competent as having the requisite or adequate ability or qualities. Now, when I hear ability and or qualities, that kind of goes around that how you were lining out the, what were the four things again for the competencies, the four, can you run them again? Say them again, please.
Yeah, five.
That's five.
Skills,
okay.
Skills, knowledge, experience, motivation, and ability.
In my own experience, the technical skill, the testable skill, is sometimes overtaken by someone's ability. So, you know, I see you smiling. So the thing is that you can have all the skills you want, but when the rubber hits the road, a lot of it's personality. A lot of it is just your own personal drive, your own personal abilities, right?
So it's why we are speaking about competence and not skills. It's also very interesting to analyze how competent you are. I like these examples with cooking, about cooking. They are very easy to understand, no? You cook a pudding. Pudding, it's well pronounced,
pudding.
No?
Mm-hmm.
This pudding is tasty. It means that you have pudding competence. It's a question, Edwin. Would you say that you have a pudding competence?
Oh, that is just hilarious. I have to look up pudding confidence.
Okay, I will answer. I will answer for you.
You're asking me if I can make pudding. Yes, I have confidence I can make pudding.
Okay, and then we come with a explanation of this example.
Please.
It could be that you prepared, no, as a pulva to cook your pudding. It's also just about cooking pudding, but it's not meant that you have cooking competence, no? Also depend a lot on the ingredients that you used during your cooking, and also all the cooking machine and so on. So resources that you used at this moment, your motivation, and how experienced you are cooking the pudding. By yourself, or it's from Dr. Edgar, also from one brand, from one. Do you know what I mean?
What about the recipe?
You can follow
right
every step in the recipe and fail.
Fail, yes.
So this is about competence. So speaking about skills, I'm in the field of competence management since 2006. My master thesis I wrote about, I was analyzing competencies framework from famous automotive company. So I was analyzing this competencies framework, how the social, emotional competencies are introduced, how they developed, what kind of trainings programs they covered. In this case, when I jumped to the field of organizational development and to KM topics, as I mentioned before, I work with people from different sectors, very interdisciplinary, that it's not only positive side, because everyone might have one definition, understanding what the competence or skill mean.
Yeah.
And in the field of knowledge management, there are a gap. There are no people from education sector that provide some definition what competences are. Or when we are speaking about knowledge management, we are speaking nowadays, and we spoke already about implementing of culture of learning. So long learning in the organizations. It's about learning. About learning, it's about competences.
Is it safe to say that you're saying competency is a translation of tacit knowledge? Does competencies equal tacit knowledge?
Yes.
Can you train competencies?
Of course. This is what we are doing already. Sorry. I get very fast confused by you. It's already what I'm doing.
You know what? That is a quote that needs to be on a t-shirt that says, how'd you just say that? I get very fast confused with you.
At this moment.
Training and skill building can help competencies, but organizations have to address the workforce in that competency mentality or competency umbrella in order to build that culture, that Geist, right?
Yes, and we are speaking about something that not have the start and end. It's like you never end. You never end to learn. So you can have competence, but to be expert, so to arrive at the high level of competence, you stay learning, developing your competency.
Well, sometimes folks that have a high level of what they consider is competence sometimes could be viewed as arrogance, no? Somebody that has like, don't talk to me. I know everything. You know, they have an arrogant, I know I'm the expert. Don't talk to me.
Not really. It's not related with be arrogant, be competent. So normally the people that are really competent, they are not arrogant. They are sharing a lot and they observating a lot. And they are normally the mentors.
Yes.
Probably not on the top management level, but they are key employees in the organizations. And this is about also to identify these key employees, competent, very competent, that they are experts in one area. Mm-hmm. To connect them to another, that they also need this knowledge. No?
So you said that competent in this, what you just talked about, what I heard was they're just very good communicators and sharers and I'll say teachers.
Because you can develop the competence if you are motivated through doing all the time, repeating the same task, improving this task, bring you to the next level of your competence. This is about be competent.
So how does that show up as a problem in organizations? When you go to a organization, what are the telltale signs that their Geist is not good?
I will speak about the situation here in the Basque Country. So with the enterprises that I'm working with, when I ask people, when was the last time that they became training, some kind of training, and these people are working for this enterprise 26, 25 years.
Ooh.
And they struggling to answer.
That's a bad sign.
So contrast, maybe, that the people was also sent to the training programs, they don't really fit to these personalities, to these profiles. It's also about not, when we are speaking about upskilling, it's efficient and also cheaper for the company, relying on the existing profiles of competencies. So there are some similarities, and it's easier to develop some new competencies or skills based on already similar frameworks. So if the person never ever worked on the computer, for example, we are speaking also about this baby boomer. They are retired, but also they stay because of lack on talent. So employees, they have to start to work with some technologies.
New technology.
It's really problematic. So, and the one way to close this gap is to build mentoring programs with a new young generation, Generation Z, if you want, no, that they provide and give different kind of knowledge, no, and so sharing the knowledge.
Just had that happen. So in my organization, I had an individual that was sitting on the fence on whether to volunteer to help us or not. He was having problems with the technology that we were using to communicate because he's retired and he's not up to speed with all the latest gadgets. And he really was overwhelmed. He was like, I'm not going to do this. If this is how you guys are working, I sat with that for about 5 days and I'm like, you know what? I need to reach out to him and let him know I will help him.
Yeah.
And once I said it's okay to ask for help and I'll help you, and I'm not the tech guy either, but I know enough to figure out stuff. That was all it took, was an invitation to say, it's okay. You know, I get it. I'll give you a hand. You know, we can get over this. You know, don't stop before you get started.
A lot of times they're very afraid. Afraid of, they are not intuitive.
Yeah.
With this kind of gadgets, no? New gadgets. So it's just about talking and, supporting. And knowledge management has a holistic character. What it means, it's focused on actively, consciously, and systematically managing knowledge. Why? With the goal to obtain benefits from it. Mm-hmm. This is a short definition. Knowledge management, so these benefits are based on continuous learning, through which knowledge is progressively acquired according to the needs of the organization or the person.
Perfect.
The acquired experience is internalized to learn.
So what is your best advice to any organization that's out there listening in the world of retention of knowledge, retaining the organization's liquid gold, which is the knowledge of, in the people? What's your best advice to any leader out there right now?
It's really important what I see here in Spain, that it's not awareness about importance and manage the knowledge, about manage the competences of the employees, about developing competences of the employees, about implementing different tools and to provide the employees with the tools to sharing, to have awareness about knowledge asset. The knowledge nowadays, knowledge economy, is a more valuable resource of every kind of organization. And knowledge consists in the heads and between the heads of the employees. So as example, every day when the employees left the company, enterprise, office, all the knowledge is away. If the organizations don't develop this awareness and implement suitable methodology to implement knowledge management activities, they will not survive on the middle and long term because of competitiveness. Because they will lose the talent, they will lose the knowledge, and they will not be competitive enough to stay on the market. This is my message, that it's not really positive. It's a statement. It's a choice.
Yeah. It's a choice. You know, leaders have to make a choice to make this important or not.
In Spain, they speak about this definition like evangelizing people, the companies, that I'm not really implementing the whole cycle of activities of KM. Always explain the importance, what is it, why we're speaking about it, and what it's mean for the organization.
Well, Christina, this has been an interesting conversation. You brought some new knowledge to my brain, and I thank you very much for being on the show.
I'm happy to bring so. You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, my friend. If your company or organization would like to help us continue this mission and sponsor one of our shows, email BYNTK at pioneer-ks.org. Just finished our latest Because You Need to Know, a public service of Pioneer Knowledge Services. Please join us on LinkedIn and find us at pioneer-ks.org.